I want to minister a sermon, amen, that I ministered in my mother church in Chula Vista. And sometimes when you go to a restaurant, you're like, man, they have some good food there, right? And so what makes you want to go back, all right? And so I want to re-preach this sermon, and it's the first time I'm preaching a sermon here. And I received a great response when I preached this sermon, and I want to bless you guys with this word that the Lord put on my heart. Amen. I was going to preach a sermon called The Value of the Blood of Jesus, but I'm going to save that one for next week because I believe the Lord put it on my heart to preach this one this morning. Amen. And so I want to preach a sermon I titled The Worm of God. The Worm of God. It's a unique title, but you will understand what I'm speaking about by the end of the sermon. Amen. But I got the idea of this sermon when we were having some people living with us for a few months. We had this family, just happened years ago, that lived with us a few months. They needed some help, amen. We opened up our homes to them, and they were living with us. But you would discover something about people when they live with you. You would discover their hygiene habits. You would discover their cleaning habits. You would discover their sleeping habits, and so on and so on. So we had this family living with us, and they left some chicken out. It wasn't my chicken, it was their chicken. And so, you know, I just left it there. You know, I didn't want to bother with it. I'm just hoping that they will, you know, cleaning up after themselves, amen. But it wasn't the case. The chicken just stayed there on the stove. And I just waited there to clean up their food. But after a few days, it started to stink up. I walked in my own door, my own house, and I was like, what is that smell? And I knew what it was. It was the chicken that's been left out. So I decided, of course, you know, to just throw it away, you know, for them. I threw it away in the trash. But the thing was, trash day just passed. And our trash only comes once a week. So trash day just passed, and it was summer, meaning it was hot. And so that chicken was going to stay in my garbage bin on the hot summer days for another 7 days. It was going to stink it up. And as the days passed, I stepped out into my patio, and I noticed maggots crawling. These worms crawling in my patio that I'd never seen before. But I knew where they were coming from. They were coming from my trash can. And I started to notice these maggots, where they started to crawl to. They started to crawl into these cracks of my pavement and outside my patio where darkness was. And if you know anything about me, I love to see and watch wildlife. Oftentimes, I'll go on YouTube and watch the wildlife over there in Africa. I love to see how the lion, you know, fights for his prey. I love to see how the mongoose evades the cobra strike. But this wasn't wildlife. This was worms. But still, I was observing them. I was noticing them. They're crawling to specific places, dark places. And I noticed how the worms hated the light and loved darkness. And it got me thinking, what does the Bible say about worms? And I started to do my research, and I noticed that the word worms occurs 33 times in the Bible. And actually, the first time it was mentioned, it was found in the book of Exodus. You know the story where God gave his people, his children, manna to eat every day. He was supernaturally supplying them for food every day. And God instructed Moses to instruct the people. He says in Exodus 16, 19 to 20, he says, Moses said to them, no one is to let any of the manna remain until morning. But they didn't listen to Moses. Some of them left part of it until morning. And the manna bred worms and it stank. Therefore, Moses was angry with them. There were people who decided to lay up more for themselves. The commandment was just to lay up just enough for each day, for you to go out and labor each day. But no, some people thought it would be better for them to just lay up more for themselves, so they wanted to go work out the next day. They were lazy. They thought it would be better than listening to God. They thought this would be better for my family. They thought and they thought and they thought, not realizing that this was the enemy baiting them to disobey God, to disobey God's commandments. And the Israelites who hoarded more than what was required had supposed wealth. I bet in time, if their sin didn't go unpunished or unchecked, they would have hoarded more for themselves. And they would have probably started a business out of it, starting to sell it out to others. They're like, well, you don't have to go out there. I got some for you. You can buy it from me. Getting others to disobey the Lord by the way of convenience and their hearts becoming greedy and their business thinking. I preached a sermon long ago that God can give us thoughts. He gave us the ability to think, and to think, it comes with thoughts. God gave us the ability to create thoughts, but also God can speak into your mind. He gave you his thoughts. He could speak directly in your mind by a simple thought, but also thoughts could come from the enemy. It could sound like your voice, thoughts to get you to disobey God and his word. And God made it very apparent to those who sinned. When he turned the manna into worms and it stank, he's saying that your sin stinks and you behaved like maggots. This was supernatural. If you ever had the experience of baking bread, you know for yourself that bread doesn't go bad the next day. It takes a couple days. It's still good to eat the next day. But this was supernatural. They didn't expect worms to come out of the bread the next day. This was done by God to show that the people acted in disobedience. Their minds were darkened. Listen, whatever you lust for, whatever you covet or compromise for your integrity, for greed, hoard up, it will become a source of corruption. And I want to talk about sinful man as a maggot. In Job 25, Bildad, if you know anything about Job, he suffered greatly. And he had three friends. And one of his friends was named Bildad. And Job 25, one of his friends was comparing the greatness of God to the lowliness and the worthlessness of man in their fallen state. He's saying that God is so pure, God is so great, God is so holy. What is man comparable to him? And Bildad couldn't come up with a comparison. He only came up with a contrast, knowing that there's nothing good in us. He only came up with a difference, that man is like a worm, but just not any worm. It was a special kind of worm, a maggot, a product of decay. You know, if even among worms, if I were to be compared to some type of worm, I'd rather be compared to like a earthworm, not a maggot. A maggot is like the worst of all worms, you know. You just, oh my goodness, you know. I'd rather be an earthworm, but no. In our fallen state, we are like maggots. It says in Job 25:6, how much is less of a man who is like a maggot? In some translation, it would say worm. But if you look up this word worm in the Strong Concordance, it will say maggot, a specific type of worm. Proud and arrogant and self-made man is nothing but a maggot. If you look at a dead carcass of an animal, and you might see maggots at the head, they might think that they're profitable, thinking because they're at the head of the body, versus the ones that are at the feet, not realizing that they're all just maggots. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter if you're at the head or the feet or the tail. And it's funny to think that man was made from dirt, the ground, the very same environment that worms live in. And when man dies, we return to the ground where maggots eat our decayed bodies. Sinful man can boast how great they are, how powerful they are. how great of an education they have, what how great of a career they have, how great of an athlete they are, but they will be brought low to the ground to be eaten by worms just like everybody else. They forget to give glory to God. They forget to live in the fear of the Lord. They love their sin more than God's truth and God's word. Some characteristics about these worms, I noticed that worms love the earth. That's where they're made from. That's where they live at. Unsaved men love earthly things. Their minds are set on earthly things. It says in Philippians 3, 18 through 19, it says, this is Paul talking about the unsaved. He says, for many walk of whom I told you often about, and now I'm telling you, even in weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, whose mind is on earthly things. Speaking about the unsaved. Another characteristic is that worms love darkness and they hate the light. They can't comprehend the light. When the light hits them, they are exposed. They try to run due to their sinful lives. Unchanged, unregenerated. Finding other friends who are worms just like themselves. And when exposed, they are food for the birds of the air. And chickens. I have chickens. I have to throw chickens in there because I'm raising some chickens now. And I want some eggs out of them. But I know something about chickens. They love worms, my man. But worms also don't have an understanding or a comprehension of spiritual things. They live much of their lives in ignorance. Paul, part of Paul's testimony, if you know anything about Paul, he talks about his testimony in 1 Timothy 1 through 13. He says, I was a former blasphemer, a persecutor of the church, an arrogant man, along with his arrogant Pharisee friends who acted out in ignorance. And the scriptures tells us that unsaved men and unsaved women are blind, powerless, deaf, weak, which fits much of the description of worms. Worms don't have eyes. Worms, they're powerless, they're weak. And Ephesians 4:8, it tells us that the unsaved are blind and deaf as well. It says that their understanding are darkened. Living in ignorance, they are alienated from God because of their blindness of their hearts. It says in Job 25, how much is a less of a man than a maggot? One author said this. He said, man in his fallen state has disregarded himself or degraded himself to become dumber and lower than any animal of the field, a maggot. Even in Job said in 17, verse 14, he said, I said to corruption, you are my father. And to the maggot, you are my mother or my sister. So the question I ask you, why did Job refer to maggots as his mother and sister? If you know about Job, he suffered. He had boils on his flesh. He looked like a cancer patient. He lost weight. He was unrecognizable. When his three friends came from afar, they're looking for him. They're like, where's Job? They're like, yo, he's out there. Where? They couldn't recognize their friend. He looked different. It says in Job 7 verse 5, he says this. This is Job speaking. My flesh is clothed with maggots. That's disgusting. It's my skin is encrusted with dirt. My skin forms scabs. It's broken. And then it oozes. Lonesome. Ugly. It was covered with maggots. They were basically eating him alive. He was an outcast from the city. The closest family he had was maggots. There was nobody around him. His kids, they passed away. His wife didn't want to be around him. And even though Job never sinned to get to the place where he was, the reason for his suffering is possibly, I believe, shows us a picture of eternity for those who are separated from God, living currently in their sin. People think so lightly of their sin. God doesn't. Sin is repulsive to him. And scriptures liken sin until this, like 2 Peter 2, it says, a dog that returns to his own vomit, a pig that loves the mud. And at the end of Isaiah chapter 14, it says this, how the end of the wicked will be like. It says that their worm is spread under you. Their worms will cover you. Speaking about maggots. You think about the King Herod when he gave a great speech before the people. And they said, oh, he spoke like a god. And he didn't give glory to God. And God struck him dead with maggots. Worms ate up his body immediately. Job 24:20 is speaking about the unsaved. A wound is speaking about when the earth gives birth to the resurrection saints shall forget him. Worms, the maggots shall sweetly feed on him, and he shall be remembered no more. See, one of the eternal torments is it includes a worm that will cover you, that will be eating you. The very last verse and the very last chapter of Isaiah, it speaks this. They will see the dead bodies of those who rebelled against me. This is the Lord speaking. Their worm would never die. Their fire would never go out. They will be a horror to all humanity. Let me ask you a question. Had you ever thought or ever pondered, what is this worm that never dies? Jesus referred it to three times in Mark chapter 9. He said, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your feet cause you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, cut it off. For their worm shall never die. It is for a people who love their sin and would not make the decision to cut off their sin. Every wicked person will have a worm. It will torment them eternity. What is this worm that will never die? It's their conscience. Their memory. Their thoughts. They will be gnashing their teeth because their conscience will bear witness against them. They'll be weeping because their conscience will bear witness against them, saying, how stupid was I? How blind was I? I was deceived. I believed the lie. Remorseful for their evil deeds. Remorseful for rejecting God's grace, God's love, His Son. Remorseful for rejecting every flyer they rejected. Seeing now that it was God that was reaching out to them, but they were blinded. Now they're tormented in their conscience, and they will never die, working against them, bringing their sin before them, condemning them, bringing their shame before them. Their guilt covers them, aggravating them. This worm would never stop gnawing at them. And they will be wishing that it would all just stop, wishing that it would just have a peace of mind. Listen, in eternity, you still live. You will be given a resurrection body. And the same thing with the wicked. They will be given a resurrection body for eternal torment. Had you ever considered how the brain looks? The brain looks like a giant worm. John Trapp said it in this way. Out of the corruption of our bodies, the worm breeds, which consumes the flesh. So out of the corruption of our souls is this never-dying worm. Their conscience torments them eternally. Pondering upon man's corrupt comparison to worm, it should make us humble. It should bring us low. We have nothing to boast about. But thank God for the blood of Jesus, amen? It says in Hebrews 9:14 that His blood can wash our conscience, washes us and give us a clean mind, washes us from all guilt and all shame. We don't have to be tormented like the wicked because of His blood that was shed on the cross. I want to talk secondly, amen, as Christ as the worm. Christ as a worm. Bildad, one of Job's friends, amen, he finishes the last verse in Job 25:6. He says this, how much less is a man who is a maggot and the Son of Man, which is a worm. If you notice anything about the Gospels, amen, Jesus often refers himself as the Son of Man. It was his favorite title to use to refer to himself as. No one would ever dare to call Jesus a worm. You know, you might get struck by lightning or something. You know, like, man, what are you doing, man? You're blaspheming, man. But here, Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. And here in Job 25, it says, the Son of Man, which is a worm. Jesus said, I am, when he spoke to Moses at the burning bush. And 7 times in the book of John, he uses the I am statement. He said, I am the bread of life. He said, I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. But there's one more hidden in scriptures, a messianic psalm, Psalms 22. It's speaking about Jesus, speaking about the Christ, but it's in the Old Testament. It says in Psalms 22, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? David penned this. But it was Jesus who spoke these words from the cross. If you remember, it says in verse 7 through 8, it says this. Everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer and they shake their heads. They say, oh, he relies on the Lord. Let him save himself. Let the Lord rescue him. Don't you remember that was what happened at the cross? It says in verse 14 that I am poured out like water. It says in verse 16, dogs encompass me. They pierce my hands and feet. Listen, David was never pierced in the hands or feet. But yet he wrote this. It's a messianic psalm speaking about Jesus at the cross, but it's at the Old Testament. It says in verse 15, my strength is dried up. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. And there's a reason why, because Jesus said, I thirst. He was dehydrated. He had to have help to carry the cross all the way to the hill because his strength was dried up. And here, hidden in Psalms 22, verse 6, he says, but I am a worm. But here in this Psalms, in Job 25, the worm that Christ uses for himself is not a maggot, because Christ was sinless. This was a different type of worm he was referring himself to. It was a crimson worm, a scarlet worm, which is the color red. And it's in God's wisdom that he wraps up the gospel and the life of this crimson worm. And I want you to think about Jesus as I describe a little bit about this crimson worm. The life of a female crimson worm will one day, when it's ready to give birth, the crimson worm will climb up on the tree all by itself without anybody forcing her on that tree. And then she will secure herself onto that tree permanently, attaching herself to the tree trunk. Knowing that once it attaches herself to the tree trunk, it won't come back down. Knowing that it won't come back down alive. The worm is going to give birth to a family when she attaches herself to the tree. In order to do that, the crimson worm will have to lay down her life for it. She needs to die to give birth. And Jesus died to give birth to the church. And the crimson worm will lay her eggs. And then she will use her body to cover her eggs as a shelter and protection. And the eggs will remain under her body until they're hatched. And then the mother would die. And during the birthing process, she would stain her body and the wood and her children with a scarlet dye. A red dye. You get the picture? Christ attached his body to a tree, to the cross, knowing that he won't come back down. even though they tried to get him to come down. And his blood was shed on the tree for us that we may live, a life sacrificed for us. You know, one of the most difficult stains to get off of white clothing is blood. And one of the most difficult stains to remove from your soul is sin. There's only one stain remover for that. It's the blood of Jesus to cleanse our heart, to forgive us of all our sins, and to clear our conscience. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. It says in Isaiah 41, it says, fear not, you worm of Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help you, says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. But here, God is not referring to Jacob as a worm, as a worm speaking about his people as a maggot. No, if you look it up, he uses a different type of worm. He uses the worm, the scarlet worm, the crimson worm. He changed their nature. He's not calling his people maggots here anymore. He's calling his people, you're covered by my blood. His people, Jacob, Israel. And as I come to a close, I like to think about Psalms 113, verse 7 through 9. He says this. He raises up the poor from the dirt of the ground. He lifts up the needy from the dunghill. He may set them with princes, even with the princes of his people. I thank God that he's mindful of us while we're yet in sin. I thank God that he loved us. I thank God that his heart is upon us. Listen, that maggot at work, God loves. That worm in your family, God loves. And I thank God that he saved this maggot here. Because I was living in sin. I grew up in church, but I left God at a young age. But it's by God's love and by his grace and his mercy that he drew me back to him. And I rededicate my life. He changed my nature. I don't have to crave for sin anymore. I don't have to crave for the dead things anymore. I don't have to crave for earthly things anymore. I can become like the crimson worm who Jesus, who went before me. I can also lay down my life for others, love others, serve others. And those who have been lifted up from the dunghill of sin and corruption shall see God. It says in Job 19 that this is Job speaking out of hope and also out of promise. He said, oh, although my skin of worms destroys this body, yet my flesh shall see God, whom I shall see for myself. My eyes shall behold, no, not another. This is a wonderful promise that we have for those who put their faith in Jesus, who put their trust in Jesus and the finishing work of the cross, that we shall see him face to face. We shall see him in heaven. We shall see him for those who are raptured face to face. And we shall see him for eternity because he were his people and we're covered by his blood. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let's give God praise. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen.